Welcome to Exam Ready PE, your go-to podcast for smashing your OCR A-level physical education exam. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating and high-value topics on the specification: personality, attitudes, and motivation. That's topic 5.1. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final run-through before your exam, this episode has everything you need. We'll cover the core theories, work through how to apply them in exam answers, flag the most common mistakes candidates make, and finish with a quick-fire recall quiz to test yourself. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with personality theory. And this is where so many candidates pick up easy marks or lose them depending on how precisely they write. There are three main theoretical perspectives you need to know: trait theory, social learning theory, and the interactionist perspective. Trait theory, associated with psychologists like Isink, proposes that personality is innate. You're born with it. Traits are stable, enduring characteristics that remain consistent across different situations. So if someone is naturally extroverted or naturally aggressive, they'll display those traits whether they're on the football pitch or sitting in a classroom. The key limitation here, and examiners love to see this, is that trait theory doesn't account for how the environment shapes behavior. It's too rigid. Social learning theory, on the other hand, takes the opposite view. Associated with Bandura, it argues that personality is learned through observation and imitation of role models, particularly those who are similar to us, who are successful, and who are reinforced for their behavior. In sport, this means a young athlete might develop competitive or aggressive traits by watching and copying elite performers. The limitation? It ignores any biological or genetic basis for personality. Now, and this is the one OCR really wants you to nail, the interactionist perspective. This is the most widely accepted view in sports psychology, and it's represented by a beautifully simple equation: B equals F of P times E. Write that down. B equals F, open bracket, P times E, close bracket. Proposed by Kurt Lewin, this equation tells us that behavior is a function of the interaction between personality and the environment. Neither alone is sufficient. A naturally competitive athlete, that's the P, might perform brilliantly in a high-stakes final, that's the E, but behave very differently in a low-pressure training session. The environment changes the expression of personality. Always write out this equation in full in your exam and define every variable. That alone can secure you AO1 marks instantly. Now let's move on to attitudes, and specifically the triadic model. An attitude is a learned predisposition to respond consistently towards an object, person, or situation. Attitudes in sport are important because they influence whether someone participates, how hard they try, and whether they persist through difficulty. The triadic model breaks an attitude down into three components. Think of the acronym CAB: cognitive, affective, behavioral. The cognitive component refers to beliefs and thoughts. For example, I believe that regular exercise improves my health. This is what someone thinks or knows about the attitude object. The affective component refers to emotions and feelings. For example, I enjoy playing netball. It makes me feel energized. This is the emotional response someone has towards the attitude object. The behavioral component refers to actions and intentions. For example, I attend netball training 3 times a week. This is what someone actually does or intends to do. Here's where it gets really interesting, and where AO2 and AO3 marks are available. What happens when someone has a negative attitude towards physical activity? How do we change it? The answer is cognitive dissonance. This is the psychological discomfort that arises when there's a conflict between two or more components of an attitude. For example, if a student believes exercise is important, that's a positive cognitive component, but they never actually go to the gym, that's a negative behavioral component, they experience dissonance. A coach or teacher can exploit this discomfort to drive attitude change. You might use persuasive communication, provide positive experiences, or use a respected role model to shift the affective component. The key point for evaluation is that the effectiveness of attitude change depends heavily on the status and credibility of the messenger and the quality and relevance of the message. Right, let's talk about motivation. This is a topic where candidates often lose marks by being too vague. Don't just say motivation, be precise. Motivation is the internal mechanisms and external stimuli that arouse and direct behavior. There are two broad types: intrinsic motivation, which comes from within, the internal satisfaction, enjoyment, and sense of mastery you get from sport, An extrinsic motivation, which comes from outside, rewards, trophies, praise, or money. Extrinsic motivation can be further divided into tangible rewards, physical things like medals and certificates, and intangible rewards, non-physical things like praise and recognition. Now, here's an important nuance for evaluation. Over-reliance on extrinsic rewards can actually undermine intrinsic motivation. This is known as the over-justification effect. If an athlete who loves their sport purely for the joy of it starts being paid, they may begin to see their participation as being for the money rather than for personal fulfillment, and their intrinsic motivation drops. This is excellent AO3 material. Achievement motivation theory, developed by Atkinson in 1964, takes this further. Atkinson proposed that individuals can be categorized based on two competing personality orientations: need to achieve, abbreviated as NOC, and need to avoid failure, abbreviated as NAF. Notch athletes are characterized by approach behavior. They seek out challenges, they prefer tasks where the outcome is uncertain, roughly 50-50, because success in those situations feels genuinely meaningful. They attribute success to internal factors like ability and effort, they persist through failure, and they use failure as a learning opportunity. These are the athletes who thrive under pressure. NAF athletes display avoidance behavior. They tend to avoid moderately challenging tasks because the risk of failure and the associated shame is too high. Interestingly, they often choose either very easy tasks, where success is guaranteed, or impossibly difficult tasks, where failure carries no personal blame. They attribute failure to internal, stable factors, like lack of ability, which is deeply damaging to future motivation. They tend to drop out of sport when the going gets tough. The practical implication, and this is great for AO2 application, is that coaches should structure training to develop NAIC characteristics. This means setting achievable but stretching targets, ensuring early success experiences, using positive reinforcement, and teaching athletes to make healthy attributions, attributing failure to unstable, controllable factors like effort rather than fixed ability. Now, let's talk exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. First, command words. OCR uses specific command words, and each demands a different type of response. If the question says, identify, give a brief factual answer, one or two words, or a short phrase. If it says, describe, explain what something is or how it works using subject-specific vocabulary. If it says, explain, you must give reasons, using connective language like because, therefore, this means that. If it says, analyze, break the concept into components and discuss each one's effect. If it says evaluate, make a judgment about effectiveness, weighing up strengths and weaknesses. And compare means you must identify both similarities and differences. For 10 and 20 mark questions, you must balance your three assessment objectives. AO1 is knowledge and understanding, worth 30%. AO2 is application, also 30%. AO3 is analysis and evaluation, worth 40%. Notice that AO3 carries the most weight. This means you must go beyond describing and applying. You need to critically evaluate theories, discuss their limitations, and make supported judgments. Candidates who only demonstrate AO1 and AO2 will struggle to access the top mark bands. Now, for the most common mistakes I see, and these are the ones that cost candidates marks every single year. Mistake number one. Confusing interactionist theory with trait theory. If you describe personality as purely innate without mentioning the environment, you've described trait theory, not interactionist. Always include B equals F of P times E. Mistake number two, using the word motivation without being specific. Always distinguish between intrinsic and extrinsic and between tangible and intangible. Vague answers do not access higher mark bands. Mistake number three, mixing up the affective and cognitive components of the triadic model. Remember, affective is about emotion and feeling. Cognitive is about belief and thought. A very common error is writing the affective component is when the athlete thinks. No thinking is cognitive, feeling is affective. Mistake number four, failing to link attribution theory to future motivation. When discussing NAF athletes, you must explain that attributing failure to internal stable factors like I'm just not good enough destroys future motivation because the athlete believes nothing they do can change the outcome. This is the link examiners are looking for. Mistake number five, not evaluating. Describing NAC and NAF characteristics is AO1. Applying them to a scenario is AO2. But evaluating the usefulness of achievement motivation theory, discussing its limitations, comparing it to other motivational theories, assessing its practical application, that's AO3, and that's where the marks are. Right, time for the quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask 5 questions, pause the podcast, write your answers, then press play to check. Question 1. Write out Lewin's equation for the interactionist perspective and define each variable. Question 2. Name the 3 components of the triadic model of attitudes and give 1 sporting example of each. Question 3. What is the key difference between NAIC and NAF in terms of task preference? Question 4. What is cognitive dissonance and how can it be used to change a negative attitude towards sport? Question 5. Give 1 strength and 1 limitation of using extrinsic rewards to motivate athletes. Pause now and write your answers. Welcome back. Here are the model answers. Question 1. B equals F of P times E. B is behavior, P is personality, E is environment. Behavior is a function of the interaction between personality and the environment. Question 2. Cognitive, beliefs and thoughts. For example, I believe exercise is good for my health. Affective, emotions and feelings. For example, I enjoy competing in athletics. Behavioral, actions and intentions. For example, I train 4 times a week. Question 3. NAIC athletes prefer tasks of intermediate difficulty, roughly 50 to 50 chance of success, because success feels meaningful. NAF athletes avoid intermediate difficulty, preferring either very easy or very hard tasks to protect their self-esteem. Question 4. Cognitive dissonance is the psychological discomfort felt when 2 components of an attitude conflict. It can be used to change attitudes by highlighting the inconsistency. For example, pointing out to a student that they believe exercise is important but never actually do it, creating discomfort that motivates attitude change. Question 5. Strength extrinsic rewards can increase participation and effort in the short term, particularly for beginners. Limitation, over-reliance on extrinsic rewards can undermine intrinsic motivation through the over-justification effect, reducing long-term engagement. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread the relevant section of your notes. Let's wrap up. Today we've covered the 3 personality theories, trait, social learning, and interactionist, with Lewin's B equals F of P times E as your anchor point. We've broken down the triadic model of attitudes, remember CAB, cognitive, affective, behavioral, and explored how cognitive dissonance can drive attitude change. We've distinguished between intrinsic and extrinsic motivation and between NAICH and NAF in achievement motivation theory. And we've drilled into the exam technique you need to access the top mark bands, balancing AO1, AO2, and AO3, using command words correctly, and avoiding the 5 most common mistakes. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, understanding the theory is only the start. The marks are in the application and evaluation. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode of Exam Ready PE.